Well, good afternoon. My name is Louise Richard. I'm a registered nurse. Just to give you a brief history before I go into the war, I joined in 1986 as an RN. I come from a great military family. My father was a three-star general, but yet he had never been to combat. My brother was military, my grandfather anyway, so it was just something I always wanted to do, is just join. I joined in 86 and in Kingston, and was posted to Ottawa in 1990. In August of 1990, as we heard, the hostilities were starting in the Middle East. And Canada, of course, as usual, is very passive and can't make decisions. So we never knew if Canada would even be sent to be part of the Gulf War. Late December, for myself as an RN, our government decided to send a field hospital to the Gulf. No support troops were on ground, so we were the first ones to go there. And we were 49. I was with doctors and surgeons, and it was like a, like MASH. What you see on TV was basically what it was out there. The problem being is that Canada had not been to active war since Korea. This is what we have in the history books. Mind you, a lot of peacekeeping and other things have gone on. But war per se, 1991 was like the first time Canada was going to war. And we're brainwashed in the military. I mean, you're going to war, you get gung-ho, whatever. And because Canada was so late in deciding that they would send people, the pre-deployment was really screwed up. It was very chaotic. We are three veterans here that went to the Gulf War. All of us received major inoculations, a lot of injections before we went there. In a civilian population, these injections would be over a course of 9 months to a year's time for the immune system to respond and get used to this. Well, in our case, it was over 36 hours. And the problem being is that the immune system really got damaged before we were sent over there. So here you are with the chaos of war, the stress, the adrenaline is going on. You land in Saudi Arabia, and the next thing you know is that, well, Saddam Hussein might use chemicals. So we're going to give you anthrax. So they turned around and ordered us to give anthrax inoculations to our troops. The problem was is that me as an officer, a nurse, I was ordered not to tell the troops what we were injecting them. So no one knew. These two, no, they never knew what they were receiving. Nothing was ever documented either. It was a mess. This started, the next thing, they come around and we had to inject with bubonic plague, botulism toxoid, all these things that are just experimental, to say the least. Proven, no. And to be used on healthy human beings, never. So here you are going through this. The next thing you know, you're now ordered to take a nerve agent pill by the name of pyridostigmine bromide. Well, we use that in operating rooms. They also use that medication for a neurological illness. It's called myasthenia gravis. But the problem is that if you give these pills to healthy human beings, as we all were, top soldiers, you develop these diseases. And I think that's what's happened to us. So anyway, the war happens, scuds are going around, bombs are blowing up, our troops are using new weaponry. The bombs that our troops use now and since 1990 are depleted uranium. The problem with depleted uranium is, for one, us as soldiers, we did not know that ammunition would be used on the battlefield. So we did not know how to protect ourselves from it. Alarms went off all the time close to where we were. We didn't know if it was biological weapons, chemical weapons. We didn't know what it was. After a certain amount of time, we were told that they were all false alarms and to ignore them. So all this time, all these toxic chemical soup is going around either in the environment from the oil wells or from injections we received or pills we had to take. So one thing comes to the next, the war ends. We come home. I can only speak for myself. They'll speak about their own cases. I come home, and it was as if Canada had sent us to Club Med. They didn't recognize where we had been. When we got back, we were never screened medically to see if any of us were ill from anything. We were just totally ignored, sent back to duty. The problem with that is myself, I was sick during the war with all kinds of weird things, coughing and bladder incontinence and all these weird things going on because of side effects of these medications. But the problem is when I got back here to Ottawa and my unit was Ottawa, we were just ignored. Well, I go on sick parade, oh no, there's nothing wrong with you, it's just stress, you're tired. Well, I've lost my hair since, I'm sorry, but that's not stress. I've had a lot of my friends die in the last years. They didn't die from stress. Haimon was talking about the 1.5 million civilians that have died since the end of the Gulf War. I just find that appalling. I feel very guilty that I even had anything to do with the Gulf War. Unfortunately, we as soldiers were just as naive as the poor civilians that were bombarded. So we are collateral damage, just as the poor Iraqis are. You know, they have leukemia, cancers, birth defects. The Canadian soldiers have that. The three countries that are the most ill, which Raymond was clarifying, Britain, Canada, and the USA, they all use that same protocol of anthrax and earth pill. Same scenario. The problem is that the soldiers are ill, and we're labeled as malingerers. It's all in our head, which is not. We have moderate illnesses that have yet to be diagnosed. In certain cases, they have been diagnosed, but it's ongoing. Our country here in Canada does not recognize the Gulf War as a war, although Canada gave us all a war medal. They call it a special duty area, which means that we are not war veterans. We don't receive war benefits or war allowances. We have never been mentioned officially on Remembrance Day, because we're not considered a war. It's World War I, World War II, Korea, and then peacekeeping. So we all seem to always fall through the cracks. And that makes our work even much more important, because it's not only the civilian casualties, but we are also casualties from this war. And our country that sent us is not looking after us. And that's basically why we continue doing awareness and educating the people. Because we can't change what's happened to us, but we sure the hell can try to make it better for the soldiers of tomorrow.